What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer. And you have just stepped inside my captain's quarters, my weekly gaming update show where I talk about my favorite gaming news topic of the past week, discuss what games I've been playing, give tips on some of those games, as well as issue a weekly relevant gaming-related decree. This week, it's all about my most anticipated comic book-based games in the upcoming future, so let's talk about it and dive right into the episode with my news catch of the week. Gamers, it seems like recently every time I hop on the internet to check out any kind of new information, gaming-wise, announcements, whatever the case may be, I feel like I've been met with yet another announcement of a comic book-based game or some update on a previously announced comic book-based game. And I am absolutely super stoked about that because, to be honest with you guys, I personally feel like over the last few years, and I know we've still had comic book-based games, but I feel like over the last few years, we haven't had them to the extent that we have in the past. In past generations, whether it was, honestly, even the Xbox One era and the PS4 and the 360 and PS3 eras before it, I feel like with every successive generation of consoles, we end up with less and less comic book-based games. I feel like at one point in time, they were more about just having the comic book-based games on the comic book-based movies and having the tie-ins in that way. And then there were moments where I feel like they were all about being based on the comics or the animated TV shows. It's been kind of all over the place over the course of the history of video games. But more recently, I would say between Midnight Suns at the end of last year in 2022, as well as Gotham Knights coming out in October of 2022, I don't feel like we've had a whole lot of other comic book options recently. Now, this year, obviously, we have the amazing-looking Spider-Man 2 coming out in October, October 20th to be specific, and I can't wait for it. So it looks awesome. But there have been a lot of other games that have been announced or talked about just recently and over the course of the last year or so that are supposed to be coming out, I hope, with at least in the next year to year and a half, meaning between now and the end of 2024, I hope that the games that I cover today, that I'm going to tell you how excited I am about them, I hope that all of them will be out by the end of next year, because I can't wait to play each and every one of them. So first off, I have to start with the brand new, the most recently announced game, and that is Black Panther. So EA has just this past week confirmed what we all kind of assumed for a while now, that they were going to be coming out with a single-player, story-driven, narrative-focused game based on Black Panther. And I can't wait. It's extremely early in development. We just got the announcement. They've just started pre-production on it. So there's not going to be anything coming out anytime soon. No teaser trailers, no any kind of details. I mean, it's just strictly, hey, look, we're doing this. It's pretty much what we got from EA. But the cool thing is it's being developed by a brand new AAA development studio that's based in Seattle called Cliffhanger Games. And this studio is actually headed up by the lead director on the game, Kevin Stevens. So obviously that name, myself included, we're not going to know who this guy is, but you may recognize his work or be able to kind of understand what his credentials are by Shadow of War, Middle-earth Shadow of War, the sequel to Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor that came out just a few years ago, probably pushing 6 years actually now, so a little more than a few years ago. Bottom line is, it's a pretty reputable series in my opinion, so it's going to be interesting to see what he does with this single-player Black Panther game. Obviously, it's in collaboration with Marvel Games, and Marvel Games, if you didn't know, they made a contractual agreement with EA to create three specifically brand new, not based on any kind of Marvel MCU movies or TV shows, like specifically made by EA for EA and kind of their interpretation of these characters. About a year or so ago is when this was announced. And I'll get to another game out of those three here in a few. But honestly, I got to tell you, I cannot wait to get my hands on this Black Panther game. I mean, I've talked about it before in the show of the potential of a Black Panther game. And even the developer, the director himself, he said, hey, look, we're excited here as a development team about exploring Wakanda. And that's where I'm at, gamers. First off, let me just say that I am super stoked and relieved that they have already come out and said this is a single-player, story-focused, narrative-driven game. Because I really hope that we are past the point in gaming right now where every single game that comes out that's comic book related or whatnot, or along those lines, feels like they have to be a games as a service like Avengers or Suicide Squad. That I'm not going to go into the details of that game, but let's just say there is a reason why it was pushed back a whole other year. It was supposed to be released at this point in this recording, mid-July. It was supposed to be released 2 months ago at the end of May. And here we are, and they've pushed it back a year because of the absolute backlash that they received from gamers online when they saw that PlayStation Showcase event that centered around the game. I mean, oh, I could go off on that, but I'm not. We're here to talk about right this second Black Panther and my excitement for it because, gamers, I am right there with those developers. Wakanda is just absolutely ripe for gaming. And the reason why is because there's so many different things you could do with it. Obviously, the thing that's most exciting to me are the jungles of Wakanda and being able to kind of stealthily move through those jungles and be in the trees. And I kind of liken it to think about Assassin's Creed 3 and Connor and how he was in those trees and those English troops. He was able to kind of sneak up and hunt them in a way within the woods. And oh man, just think about being the Black Panther. Trade Connor for T'Challa and you have an idea of where I'm kind of going with this. And also, not just the jungles of Wakanda, which could be just gorgeous graphically and visually because of the greens and the vibrancy of the rivers that'll flow through and just all the things you can do with that. But also think about it, the absolute beautiful plains, the African plains out there where there's the wildlife and all kinds of different things you could do on the outskirts of the jungles. Not to mention the cities. There's multiple cities in Wakanda. We don't see a whole lot of that in the movies. In the more recent current Black Panther comic, we're seeing a lot of the cities that you don't normally, at least in my experience, I've not normally seen a lot of that in Black Panther in the comics or any other medium. So it's actually kind of cool to think about the possibilities of what you could do within the cities. Because think about it, Wakanda is the most advanced nation on the planet. Because of the vibranium that they've had access to all this time. So all the different cool things they could do, the developers technologically within the cities of Wakanda, that is really exciting to me. So when we go outside of everything that's on the top surface of the game world, I also think about what you could do underground. Because if you've seen the Black Panther movie, and if you've read comics, you know there's all kinds of different tunnel systems and just a lot of things to explore underground of underneath Wakanda. So there is just an absolute plethora of options for these developers to just go nuts with and have a ton of fun with the character T'Challa. I'm hoping that it's more of like an origin story or kind of at least at the very beginning of his career. I don't need necessarily an origin story, but if it's the absolute youngest you can be without it being an origin story for T'Challa, I'm right there. I cannot wait to play this game and I am super excited about the fact that it was finally confirmed and announced. Now, next up, the game I wanted to talk about is actually the other game that I had mentioned that was the second of three games that EA is going to be working in collaboration with Marvel Games on. And this second game, I am also super stoked about. It is Iron Man. And again, third-person, story-driven, narrative-focused game. Absolutely psyched for this. Now, don't get me wrong. We have had Iron Man in video games over the course of the history of the medium. But our two most recent experiences with Iron Man in video game form came during the 360 PS3 era. And while I did play through and complete and beat both of those games and enjoyed them to certain degrees, let's just say they weren't the greatest games. And let's just say that Iron Man is still at this point in time a very untapped character when it comes to the gaming sense. So, to find out that developer EA Motive, who, if you did not know, actually just released earlier this year, at the end of January, the Dead Space remake. Absolutely phenomenal experience, by the way. If you want my detailed thoughts on that game, check out my review right here on the channel. Bottom line is, I absolutely trust EA Motive after the experience that I had playing Dead Space. Not to mention, I mentioned it in my review, I also mentioned it as I played through it and shared my experiences with you on my Captain's Quarters episodes, that I felt like the zero-G segments in Dead Space were kind of like a training ground for EA Motive when it came to implementing those kinds of in-air controls and propulsion and things like that. The physics of it, of moving and controlling Iron Man with his armor, obviously, his Mach 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever armor that you wear in the game, as he's flying around in the sky. And I thought it was great in Dead Space. So I can only imagine where you take that and then you times it times 100 probably for all the kind of different mobility and then combat and all kinds of other things that are going to be going on, presumably, in this Iron Man game. So I really do, I got to thinking about it for this episode and I'm like, you know what? What kind of game do I really want this to be like? And in my opinion, I feel like the Iron Man game, it should be an open world game, but kind of like a hub world open world. And what I mean is, I don't want to have this massive continent to explore as Iron Man, but if you have pretty sizable hub areas that you go to as Iron Man, and just give me enough space to fly around. That's why I feel like you need a good enough space, not just width, but also height, because you want to be able to go to a pretty good, decent height with Iron Man, because you're going to be flying around. You can have cool combat scenarios in the sky. So I really hope that they implement that kind of an environment, kind of a hub world, but an open world in these bigger hub areas. I also think it'd be kind of cool if in between missions or whatnot, you can kind of go back to Tony's mountainside mansion in California, and it's kind of like your hub in between hub worlds. And you can actually have the different abilities to change out your suits there and look at different collectibles that you find throughout the course of the game. It's a comic book based game, and a lot of these do collectible comic book covers, which I think would be cool for the character in the game. So either way, it's just a lot of really cool ideas I have for what this could be, and I'm really excited for how good it could be, because again, we just have not had the greatest options when it comes to Iron Man and video games. Now, don't get me wrong, I haven't played Iron Man VR. I do know that's another option out there. Fans of that, I don't want to let you down and make you think that I have forgotten about that. But in the context of a classic video game form, this is where I'm most excited about anyways. So I really hope that at least some of these ideas are implemented into this game. And it's just great. Now, it took them a while, EA, that is, to, in between announcements, to announce, you know, the first game, Iron Man. Now we're announcing Black Panther. I hope it doesn't take as long in between Black Panther's announcement and whatever this third game is going to be. Personally, I really hope that it's a Captain America game. And the reason why, gamers, is because I really feel like the Captain America game that came out that was tied in with the first Avenger movie, I thought that was awesome. It was kind of like a poor man's Batman Arkham, but you play as Cap instead of Batman. And it was actually pretty solid. So I think that if not necessarily carbon copy that gameplay, but something similar to that, there's just a lot you could do with Cap. I mean, you could do time traveling as well. You could play as Cap back in the 40s during World War II. You could have him right up until when he gets, you know, frozen in the ice, and then you could have him thawed out and modern day. And I mean, you could do a whole lot of really cool stuff with Cap. So I would be super stoked if they came out with the announcement that this third game the EA is going to do is a Captain America game, because that would be amazing. Which leads me into the third game that has been announced and confirmed to be in development that I wanted to talk to you about today. And that is Captain America and Black Panther. Now, this is a game I had touched on months ago when it was first announced in a Captain's Quarters episode, but I felt like I had to mention it here in this episode. I mean, it's right in line with all these other Marvel games I'm talking about, and it just sounds and looks awesome based on the concept art we were shown. And, oh man, I mean, if you don't know what it's about, basically it is set during the World War II era, and obviously Steve Rogers is still Captain America at that time, so you play as Steve Rogers Cap. And Black Panther is actually not T'Challa in this game that you play as. You actually play as his grandfather. Obviously, T'Challa is not even in existence at this point in time. It's, you know, presumably 50 years before he was even born. So you get to play as Black Panther, the grandfather of T'Challa, that is. And when you control Black Panther, you're actually controlling him in France, doing these kind of almost like a spy type missions and different things. So he's kind of out of his element. And Cap, on the flip side, is in Wakanda. So that actually, I thought, is what I'm hoping, at least, is what we're going to see, and some really cool gameplay elements there. Just sounds like a really cool story. And Amy Hennig of Uncharted fame, she's actually the one heading up this game. So speaking of story, that tells me right there, with her involved, that it's probably going to be pretty freaking awesome. Because if you didn't know and you haven't played the Uncharted games by some crazy miracle here, then you got to know that they are amazing stories, the ones that were done with her involvement. So, well, actually, all four of them were, but you get my point. Awesome, awesome to have Amy Hennig on board for the story. And again, this is another third-person action-adventure, single-player, story-driven, focused game. So I am absolutely, absolutely stoked to get my hands on this. Now, next up, we're kind of shifting away, believe it or not, from Marvel for a second, and there's actually a freaking DC game coming out. We first saw the announcement of it at the Game Awards a couple years ago. It is Wonder Woman, third-person, open-world action-adventure game, and it is supposed to talk about and be kind of set around Wonder Woman's origins. There is a unique take that was quoted from the developers as being taken with this character within this medium on this game. And I really do, obviously, I feel like you can't not have the game set in Themyscira, the home world or home location of Wonder Woman. When you talk about open world and it's a Wonder Woman game, I mean, it just kind of goes hand in hand. Themyscira is got to be this location, because there's just so much cool stuff you could do with it. You could do the fantastical. You could do the practical. I mean, there's just so many different things. Not to mention just her being able to kind of be displaced out of time at different points and going into the normalcy of what we know as normal compared to what she knows from Themyscira. Like, you could do that fish out of water type feeling as well as a gamer. I just think there's a lot of really cool things. Combat wise, I mean, I really feel like God of War. You think about God of War, I mean, there's, instead of the Blades of Chaos, you have the Lasso of Truth. Now, granted, I get it. The point of the Lasso of Truth typically boils down to getting the truth out of these people and finding out information and whatnot. But you could also utilize it for other things. It doesn't have to be limited to just that. You have that as a gameplay option within the game. You also could use it to traverse over chasms, even though she can fly, so you don't necessarily need that. But you could use it to whip up bad guys, pull them towards you, or just in combat, you know, between the punching and the kicking and the jumping, you could also implement somehow the whip. There's just all kinds of different things that you could do. I absolutely am excited for this, because I think of the original Wonder Woman movie and how excited that got me about the character of Wonder Woman, how much I loved that original movie. So I'm hoping that this game does for Wonder Woman what that, in gaming form, what that first movie did for her as far as in movie form. So can't wait to get my hands on that game. And then I got a couple of quick hits. I've already mentioned Spider-Man 2, so I'll go next to the next Insomniac game that's Marvel, and that is Wolverine. Gamers, I just want to see something on this game. I really was hoping that at PlayStation Showcase event earlier this summer that we were going to get our first teaser of what we could expect, at least story-wise, even if it wasn't gameplay, at least some kind of in-engine teaser trailer with an explanation of what we can expect from the story. I would have loved something, but I get it, I guess. You know, as a, got to put my fanboyism aside and be like, you know what, I get it. They don't want to cannibalize themselves. They want to promote their and prioritize their game, the big Marvel comic book game they have this year, which is Spider-Man 2. After that launches, that's when we'll probably start seeing things come about for Wolverine, which hopefully is still on track to release next year. I know when it was first announced and teased, they said that it was looking at a 2024 release. So that is hopefully what will still happen. But I just can't imagine how amazing this game is going to be. I mean, it's just going to be awesome combat, visceral. They're going for the hard M rating. The storyline, just, they said it's going to, they're going for an emotional story and just doing something very unique with the character and just trying to give a love letter to the character is what I had read. And that to me just sounds like so many options. I can go in so many directions. If you know, Wolverine storylines and comic book storylines over the years, then you can probably surmise where there's a few different angles that and storylines that Insomniac could pick and choose from in order to create this game experience. So can't wait to check out the details of that. But my final question here in this week's segment, I gotta ask, where is DC? Where are they at in the video game space? Now, I know I mentioned Wonder Woman, and I'm very excited about that. I know I mentioned Suicide Squad and the disaster that that looks like it's going to end up being, unfortunately. But outside of that, where are their solo character games at, man? Like, they have so many cool characters they could pull from that I don't understand why they have allowed their characters to just lie in dormancy while they just do Batman game after Batman game after Batman world game like Gotham Knights or even in Suicide Squad. I don't understand. It's centered around, oh, Batman is still alive and there's all this stuff. I don't know. I really, really, really don't understand why they're letting characters like Superman. Hello. We have the tech now that we could really do something awesome with Superman. But Superman, Aquaman, The Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, a good Green Lantern game. Don't get me wrong. Yet again, the Green Lantern tie-in game from back in the day, the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern tie-in game, it was actually pretty decent. But it wasn't, you know, the greatest, and the movie wasn't the greatest. But I'm talking about a real solid, good Green Lantern game. All these characters are just ripe for gaming and just would be awesome. And also expand the notoriety of them to maybe a different audience that didn't know about them or know certain details about them. You look at the box office bomb of the Flash movie and you wonder why. It's like, well, there's a lot of reasons there. We could have a whole episode about that. I'm not going into that. But I mean, my thing is drive some more awareness of your characters. I feel like Marvel has done that over the last, you know, almost 20 years now to a very successful degree. And a lot of the characters that you never would have cared about 20 years ago, like, honestly, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, these were kind of like B and C level heroes back then before these movies started coming out and being the things that really made them awesome and cool and popular again. So I really feel like DC needs to get on the ball here. I don't know what their problem is or why they're dragging their feet here when it comes to gaming. But DC, you guys got a lot of great characters that could really benefit from some awesome, awesome games. Regardless, it is a good time to be a comic book fan and a gaming fan because what we do know that is coming is a lot of amazing sounding, hopefully phenomenal experiences. So that's this week's Catch of the Week. Now let's open up my captain's log and see what games I've been playing. Gamers, since last we opened up the old captain's log, I have still been focused on one game. And that one game, you guessed it, is Final Fantasy 16. So over the past week, I was able to drop another 8 hours of time into Final Fantasy 16, which brings my overall playtime total to 53 hours. So for me, if you're like me, I'm very obsessed with how long I put into a game and tracking the time I play. And that 50 hour mark is always a pretty big milestone for me in any game, but especially in these RPGs that are pretty massive, usually every 20, 25 hours, but especially when you hit that 50, there's something extra special for me about hitting 50. And I don't know if I'll get to 100 in this Final Fantasy, because to be honest with you, where I'm at, I am currently at 71% complete with the main story based on the progress tracker on the PS5. So if I'm right at 53 hours and I'm 71% done with the story, I still do feel like there's a lot of side stuff that I have left to do. But that 29% that's left of the game, man, I really do feel confident. And hey, I may be coming back here to you guys, and I was wrong in my guesstimate, but I'm thinking that it's probably going to be another 30 hours roughly for me to finish up this game. I'm not planning on platinuming it right now because that platinum trophy requires a second playthrough on Final Fantasy mode, which is essentially a hard mode, and I'm just not, I don't have the time to do that. As much as I am loving this game, so let's get to why I'm loving this game and what I've done this past week. Well, I did mention last week when I was talking to you about my adventures here with Clive Rossfield, the main character of the game, that I had made it to the Velcroy Desert and how much I was loving this new location. Even ironic as it is, given the fact that it's kind of a wasteland for the most part, but there were just absolutely gorgeous aspects about it. The little village tucked away as kind of an oasis of Dalamil and the limestone deposits and different mountainous areas that are just gorgeous. And then you go into this whole different separate area this past week in my exploration of it, because there is the main northern and southern and central deserts of the Velcroy, But there are also these other sections that are split up. There's a place called the Jaw, which is essentially this long winding path through like kind of a canyon type area into another whole location. And then that's in the bottom western side of the map. When you go to the bottom eastern side, there's all kinds of other stuff that I still haven't even gotten to. Now, the central eastern aspect of the map, that I did go into some detailed exploration this past week. And in those explorations, I got to a new location that I just loved called the Baklad Markets. Now, it's just what it sounds like and what you would expect this marketplace to be. And it was just this bustling city, this little tiny city that is full of just different vendors from selling all kinds of different things, from fruit to bread to meat to chairs and furniture to rugs, plates and pots and all kind, like literally anything you could possibly think of to furnish a house or eat. There was usually a vendor stall that you could find for it. Now, in and around the actual main marketplace, there are other different shops and restaurants or inns that you can go to and check in with people who are the proprietors of those businesses. And it was just really cool because there's different things that are outside the businesses, different posters or whatnot that you can read and are obviously very competitive with one another as to, hey, you go to me over this business, et cetera. I thoroughly enjoyed exploring this little marketplace. I just thought it was great. I also met a lot of new characters and added some comrades, I would say, to the cause of what Clive and his group are already trying to do here, which if you have been following me, then you'll know that Clive is essentially, he's a bearer, which anybody who can possess magic or can wield magic without the use or help of a crystal in this game world is known as a bearer. And he is basically going through the world, and bearers are not looked fondly upon by a lot of people and are typically known in that sense as branded. And they get this tattoo branded onto their face to signify that they are a bearer and that essentially at that point they're kind of treated like slaves, basically. So it's nice when you find new people around the world, the game world, to kind of join Clive in his quest to liberate not only these people, but also the world of these mother crystals that are the source of all this power, because they are just kind of sucking the ether out of the world. And that's the whole kind of purpose right now as you're going through as Clive. And just a few other details that I'll leave out is not to spoil the specifics of the storyline, the really nitty-gritty details, but I did have a lot of really cool stuff happen as far as the main storyline is concerned this past week. But I will say I absolutely loved some of the side quests that I picked up as I was going through the Baklad markets. And there were some more side quests that also I had that I was trying to finish up that I gained from people at the hideaway. So the bulk of this 8 hours was really kind of exploring these new parts of the Velkroi Desert, the marketplace, as well as kind of bouncing back and forth and checking in with different main characters and objectives at the hideaway. Now, there are multiple notorious marks that I had mentioned before that pop up on this hunting board that's there at your hideaway. And these are kind of more difficult creatures that have a little kind of tiny paragraphs worth of a side story or backstory to them. And they're always really cool when I like those. And I did take out all of the new ones that popped up on the board. I want to say there is a total of 6 of them, and I have now done 12 or 13 of those marks. There's 32 total in the game, so I'm not quite halfway done yet, but they're a lot of fun to go after. I always enjoy those fights. And this time, I was actually very proud of myself because there was an S-ranked mark. These marks are ranked by letter, S being the most difficult or imposing, all the way down from A, B, C. I haven't seen anything below a C yet. But this S-ranked enemy or mark was pretty intense. It was a fun fight, let me put it that way. I did not die. I was able to take him out on the first try. It's one of the fallen iron giants, is the best way I know how to describe it. I don't know the official name in the bestiary of the game, but if you've played Final Fantasy and you've fought against the iron giants before, you'll know what the at least enemy design looks like, and it's modeled after the architecture or the kind of limestone looking stone that the fallen, which is this race of being that have airships that have fallen to the ground that are kind of relics and ruins all over the game world. So either way, it's made out of that material. It looks like a massive iron giant. And it was just a fun fight. So I enjoyed that. And there was a few others that were very much enjoyable throughout the course of my time as well. So overall, I have thoroughly enjoyed my time and this 8 hours over the past week of playing Final Fantasy 16, and just can't wait to get back to it and continue sharing with you my adventures with Clive. Now, out of that 8 hours and everything that I did, let's go check in and see what my highlight of the week was. During the aforementioned 8 hours of play, there was a string of objectives and a quest line, basically, that I had to do. It was part of the main quest, so I don't want to go into too many like character specifics or anything like that, but it genuinely was my highlight of the week. And ultimately, what you're doing is going around gathering basically materials for building something. I don't want to spoil too many things for you guys, so I'm just going to put it out there very vaguely. But let's just say that when you get to the point that I'm talking about, you should know what I'm talking about. But I just thought it was great. The character that's the main character kind of driving this mission and these specific quest objectives, I thoroughly enjoyed this character. I enjoyed the places that I had to go and the things that I had to do in order to get the materials that I needed. And it really, for whatever reason, resonated with me this past week and just was a really good time. And don't get me wrong, I thoroughly enjoyed the market and exploring the Velcroy Desert some more and its further reaches south and southeast and south central. But I really did enjoy what I was doing and why I was doing it in this specific quest line of objectives. So that was my highlight of the week this past week. Now let's go open up a chest of buried treasure gaming tips I have for you in Final Fantasy 16. Gamers, this week it's just a real quick tip for you that something I happened to notice as I was going through a certain objective of my own that I really wanted to accomplish. At a certain point in the game, you will see pop up at the blacksmith the option to and the crafting recipe for a sword called Excalibur. Now, yes, obviously they are absolutely alluding to the legendary sword of King Arthur, notoriety and fame. But it's obviously this game's version of it. It does have a cool little description of the sword that alludes to that legend of King Arthur. It doesn't specify or say the words or the name King Arthur or anything like that, but it's quite obvious when you read the description that it's referencing King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table. So, bottom line is, when I saw the name pop up for the weapon, I was like, yes, I definitely want to get this weapon. And the cool thing I like about Final Fantasy XVI's weapons are every single one of them. There's a lot of them, first off. The swords that Clive uses, and every single one of them are uniquely designed, and I love that. So that was another aspect of my excitement of wanting to see what the design was going to be like for this Excalibur. Now, in order to craft this sword, you're going to need certain components, two of which you're not going to immediately have, or at least I didn't immediately have when the recipe first popped up and the available option for me to craft the sword was there. So what I ultimately ended up doing is I noticed that there was on the two items that I needed, the crafting items that I didn't have, there was this icon, a unique looking icon that was kind of grayed out, a tiny little tile that was a grayed out tile that had a very unique looking image on it. So upon seeing this, I kind of questioned, what is this? I don't really know exactly what that is supposed to be indicative of. Well, long story short, if you get to the same situation that I was in, those icons are actually letting you know, hey, these crafting materials are dropped by a notorious mark. So sure enough, two of the marks that I took out during my 8 hours this past week, each one of them dropped one of those items. So I was able to very excitedly, after I took out those two marks, craft Excalibur, and it is my current sword of choice. So just to save you some time or maybe some curiosity there, whenever you get to that point, if you see those icons, that is basically telling you like, hey, you know, these are going to be items that you can only get that are dropped from defeating a mark. So that's this week's buried treasure. Now let's go see what this week's Captain's Decree is. Gamers, this past week as I was looking ahead and getting excited for all of the comic book games that are coming out and the seeming resurgence of the quantity of comic book games that we're having on offer for us, it got me thinking about another genre or subgenre of gaming that, honestly, I can't tell you the last time I saw one of these types of games. I can't remember in years. And that genre is the movie-based game genre. Now, I know some of you may be immediately like, whoa, wait a minute. We're glad to see that genre go bye-bye, go off into the sunset. Like, they were always horrible. You know, why would you want that crap to come back? License games suck. Well, I will tell you that that is not entirely inaccurate, but it's also not entirely accurate. I do feel that I personally miss the years of kind of expecting, or just it was a known thing with any new big comic book based movie or big movie, even sometimes. It didn't have to be based on a comic book, but there were games based around these big tentpole movie releases. And I honestly miss those days because I thoroughly enjoyed quite a few of them. Now, don't get me wrong, we do have the Avatar game coming out in December, so you could kind of say that because it is strictly based on a movie-originated franchise. So there is that. That's in the future. That's great. But I can't tell you the last time I saw something. Like, I was talking to Graveyard Gamer, great friend of the podcast. He's got his own podcast, Graveyard Gamer. Check it out. It's on this channel, many other podcast channels. We were just talking recently, right? There's the new Mission Impossible movie just came out this weekend, and I'm a massive fan of the Mission Impossible movie franchise, but it also had me thinking back to my PlayStation 1 and Nintendo 64 days where I loved the Mission Impossible game that came out on both of those consoles. Why are we not doing Mission Impossible games now? I feel like they could do awesome Mission Impossible games with today's tech. If I am looking back on the PlayStation 1 and 64 game as fondly as I am, and the limitations of that generation's technology, thinking about what we could potentially do now, I mean, just that, I get so excited for it. Like, I know we have a 007 game in the works from IO Interactive coming out at some point, but my point is, there are so many different franchises, like the Ninja Turtles. I wish we could get a great game based on the Ninja Turtles. That would be phenomenal. And even in the realm of speaking to comic book-based movies, even the games that were based on comic book-based movies, I still enjoyed most of the ones that I played. Again, I won't say that they were the greatest of quality games, but I don't have to have a AAA masterpiece every single time I pick up a controller. If I am having fun, if I am enjoying it, if it's a solid 8, 7, 5 even, I'm fine. I'm happy. If I enjoy the experience, if there's something there enough that really just grips me and resonates with me, that's all I need. So I think about games like The Incredible Hulk that was based on the movie. I love the Hulk games, not just the one that was based on the movie that came out in 2008. I loved it, but also the one that was based on the comics that came out a few years prior called Ultimate Destruction. I loved those Hulk games. Where is a Hulk game now? Why do we not have it? We had a game on Superman Returns, but we haven't had a Superman game in years. There is so many different games that we have, in my opinion, missed out the opportunity on experiencing. Even when you look at Fantastic Four, the Fantastic Four game on the original Xbox, Rise of the Silver Surfer, like all these movies had games with them. I thoroughly enjoyed them to greater extents or others, but even Captain America, I referenced earlier in the episode, that was themed around the release of the Captain America First Avenger game. It wasn't, you know, this massive 10 out of 10 masterpiece, but it was awesome. It was still a great, enjoyable experience, and it gave me the opportunity to be Cap and experience a Captain America story in my favorite medium, which is video games. So I would love to see the resurgence of movie-based games, no matter how controversial that may be. That'll do it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com, as well as searching for Hulking Yoda on the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch networks. You can also find me on social media, on Instagram at lostatseagaming, as well as on Twitter at lostatseagaming1. Thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.